And we're going to turn to John chapter 3. We want to commence here tonight, but we are going through several verses of Scripture. And we want to speak on a wonderful topic tonight, and therefore we're going to come to verse number 14. John chapter 3 and verse number 14, and let us hear the word of the Lord. John 3, 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh unto the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Amen. Let's in our hearts together in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the truth of thy word that we have read tonight. Some of these verses very familiar. Perhaps everybody in this very meeting could quote some of these verses word for word. Lord, some maybe just not so familiar. But Lord, whether familiar tonight or unfamiliar, Lord, whether well known or heard, maybe even for the first time, we pray that thou wilt take thy word and write it upon our hearts. Bring it with freshness, bring it with power. Help us to know what the Lord would say to us tonight. For God's people, help them to rejoice in the salvation that they know and have experienced even this day. And Lord, that they are in the eternal covenant of God. And for those, Lord, who are not saved, we pray you'll show them their need of a Savior tonight. That they can come, that they must come. Oh, Lord, save by thy power and by thy grace, we pray. Lord, make this a very special meeting. May we hear a people trusting in the Savior. Empty me of self and sin, I pray. Fill me with thy Spirit and give me power as I deliver the word of God that thou hast given to me for the glory of thy precious and thy holy name, for Christ's sake. Amen. Amen. The scope of the gospel is so wide that all types of people, all categories of people, all backgrounds of people are to be reached with the truth that the Lord Jesus Christ has come into this world to save sinners. In fact, the word whosoever is often used in the scripture when there are commands to come unto the Lord by faith or to call upon his name. There's a verse that I think I use in possibly every single gospel service that I preach in. And it's Romans 10, verse 13, and it says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." It's also found in Acts chapter 2, verse 21, "And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." It's also found in the Old Testament in Joel chapter 2 and 32, "And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered." And again, the word delivered is exactly the same word as saved in the New Testament. And therefore, in each of these three times in Scripture where we're told to call upon the Lord, that offer, an invitation goes out to the whosoever. Thank God there are no restrictions here. Thank God there are no exclusions. But whosoever may, can come and will be accepted if they come the way that the Lord has ordained in Scripture. The word gospel means good news, and the good news is that the Lord Jesus Christ has come into this world to save people from their sin. Why did he do that? Because that's God's way of salvation. That's God's way for sinful man to be made right by a holy God and before a holy God. And you know, sometimes preachers are in danger of bringing confusion to their hearers and not presenting the full truth of Scripture, because they sometimes tell people, "You need to be saved, you need to be saved, you need to be saved right now." But they neglect to tell people why they need to be saved and from what they need to be saved. We first of all need to let people know the danger they're in before we present the rescue. We need to tell people about their sinfulness before we present a saviour. And as I was thinking over this week about that word, whosoever, I find that in Scripture there are several times whenever this little statement is made, whosoever believeth. Whosoever believeth. And I've looked through some of these verses, and I have brought five verses that I want to leave before you tonight that contain the words, whosoever believeth. And as we look at that, we'll find that whosoever believeth, there's a promise attached to that verse. And there is a blessing attached to that verse if the sinner comes and believes in the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, tonight, by looking at these five verses, the sinner will understand why they need to be saved, and the Christian will be able to know more of what it is to be saved and rejoice in their standing in Christ. Whosoever believeth. Belief or faith is a very important part of the gospel message, because faith must be exercised if a sinner is going to be saved. It is by faith we trust that the Lord Jesus Christ is a substitute for sinners, that dying upon Calvary, he died as them and for them. Dying upon Calvary, he shed his precious blood to save them from their sin. Whenever the Philippian jailer asked Paul and Silas, what must I do to be saved? Here's what he was told. Believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Now, this belief is not just agreement. It is not just an agreement or an acknowledgement that these things happened, but it is such a faith that will cause you to act upon it. And therefore, if you truly believe that Christ is the Savior for you, if you truly believe that his blood can save you, if you truly believe that he is able and willing and ready to save you, then you will do what the Scripture tells you to do. You'll call. And that will be a call of faith and repentance. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. There was an old pensioner who was a slave to drink. And he attended a gospel meeting, and the preacher at that gospel meeting wanted to see this man led to Christ. And after the meeting, he asked this man to sit down with him and to speak with him. And the man didn't really want to take that time, so he said, I want you to come to my house tomorrow and speak to me then. So the preacher arrived at the man's house, and he opened the Bible, and he said, God, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him. And he looked in the face of this old alcoholic, and he said, that means you. Should not perish, but have everlasting life. And that means you. That old man was amazed. He had no idea that God loved him. His life had been wrecked and ruined by sin. In fact, not only did he have not have any idea, he couldn't believe that a holy God could love a wretch like him. And he banged his fist on the table and said, I don't believe it. I don't believe it. And the preacher looked around and he saw different medals from the army in the house. And he said to the man, he asked the question, where are these medals from? And the man said, I was in the army for 21 years and 14 days. And the minister hit his fist off the table and says, I don't believe it. The man said, but I was, and I can prove it to you. And he brought out a paper, and it was written the length of time of his service. And the preacher said, the Lord has died upon the cross of Calvary that you might be saved. And he's putting it in writing that you might read and know and believe. And that man realized for the first time that he had been rejecting the Lord's gospel and salvation that is offered in the Scripture. And as tears came down his face, he called on the Lord Jesus Christ to save him. You see, the preacher was right. Whosoever shall call, or whosoever believeth, that means you. Sinner tonight, that means you. Sinner, maybe sitting in your sin tonight. Maybe the effects of sin seen in your body or in your mind. Friend, this means you. You can believe, you can be saved. The first thought we want to have tonight with this little statement, whosoever believeth, is in John chapter 3, verse 16. And it says, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Verse 15, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. So the first reason we need to be saved is that we would not perish but have eternal life. You need to be saved, dear sinner, because tonight you're dead in your sin. You're on a road that leads to hell. And in the Bible, the sinner's described as dead and trespasses and sin. Every individual born into this world, apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, is born in this way as a sinner. Oh yes, there's been a physical birth. There's physical life within the body, but there's never been any spiritual life in the sinner. You see, being a Christian is not about a certain behavior or doing certain things, but being a Christian is the reality of spiritual, eternal, everlasting life within. Saved by the grace of God, given life from the Lord. This eternal life, and often it's called eternal life, not only refers to the quantity of spiritual life in that it has no end, but it's speaking specifically about the quality of that life. You see, our eternal life or our spiritual life is also called true life. It's called abundant life. It's called fullness of life. It's called everlasting life. There's a lovely old song that says, "I've just started living." And it's talking about the experience of a sinner being born again of the Spirit of God, receiving true life. This is life that comes only from the Lord. It's not by doing religious activities or by trying to turn your life around. It's a life that comes only from the Lord. It's only through faith in Christ and therefore by obedience to his word that you can receive it. It's by God's grace we receive this gift, because this is not deserved by any man. No man can earn it, but God's grace gives us what we don't deserve. It's a life that fully satisfies the soul of the individual. There's nothing that can take the place of God in our life that can give us true spiritual satisfaction. Praise God, this life is something that we can experience now, and that every believer is in possession of now. Yes, the physical life will cease in our body, but the soul will live on in eternity. And the one who dies in Christ will be completely satisfied without end. They will see their Savior face to face. Revelation tells us in the Word of God what is not in heaven. And many of those things are the things that destroy life's experience here, but they're not permitted in glory. That's why heaven is the home of the believer. That's why we're longing for that place. But having eternal life does not mean you have to wait until you die to enjoy this life or experience the blessings of walking with God. If you have eternal life, then praise God, it's a present possession. You have it now, even in trials and sickness, even in disappointments and persecutions, even walking through the valley of the shadow of death, you do so as one who is alive in Christ. Yeah, even coming near the end of life's journey, while the physical body is dying, praise God, you're entering into the valley alive, fully alive in Christ. And therefore tonight, I urge all sinners, all who are out of Christ, to believe. To believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, believe in him, the one whom God sent to be the Savior of the world. Why? That you might have eternal life. You die without that spiritual life, you'll be found in hell for all eternity. And then turn with me to John chapter 12. And in John chapter 12, we see this statement again: whosoever believeth. And we read there in John chapter 12 and verse number 46, and the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking here. If you look at verse 44, Jesus cried and said, "He that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness." So here's the second reason you need to be saved, sinner. Because you're walking in darkness tonight. And praise God, for those who are saved tonight, you can say, "Well, my reality is that I am no longer walking in darkness." Those who are saved know what it is to be in darkness. There was a time in our lives when we did not understand or see clearly the things of God. But praise the Lord, we can testify with Ephesians 5 and verse 8. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now ye are the light of the Lord. Walk as children of light. And whenever we see that the picture of darkness and light is used here to speak of the Christian, it puts an end to any argument of any person who says, well, I'm saved and I can do whatever I want. Or I'm a Christian and I can live whatever lifestyle I want. No, you can't. Because you've been saved out of darkness to live as the light of the Lord. That's what it says here in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. And then it says, walk as children of light. And oh, how often we need to visit Calvary and remind ourselves of the blessing that the Lord has bestowed upon us and his mercy towards us and how he has saved us and how we ought to live for him and to walk as children of light. Not to earn salvation, but in thankfulness for our salvation. The call of the gospel to all is not to continue in darkness, in the darkness of sin or ignorance or guilt, but to come to the light of the world. Whenever we go out into pitch darkness, and whenever we cannot see, then we do not see where we are. We do not even see where we're going, the dangers that surround us. You can stand in complete darkness and stand before a mirror and still be no more clear about how you look. And this is true spiritually. Because in our darkness, we fail to see how sinful we really are. In our darkness, we cannot see the reality that we're condemned. In our darkness, we cannot see the way to freedom. In our darkness, we cannot see the dangers or the end of sin. And the reality is, if a person lives and dies in darkness, then they'll be found in eternity in the place of outer darkness. Oh, what hopelessness. What danger. And yet there are many who run from any shining of the light. We read that in John chapter 3. Men loved darkness rather than light. Oh, if there's a church service on, they'll run in the other direction. If there's a Bible open, they'll close it. If there's Christian company, they'll go elsewhere. If there's an open air, they'll mock and scoff and try and close out the words. If there's a gospel tract, they'll even go so far as to rip it up and throw it down. They're running from the light. They neglect, they reject, and they mock with contempt because they love darkness rather than light. You see, the sinner is thoroughly in love with his sin. And that's what's holding back people from coming to Christ. They enjoy their sin. In fact, it seems to them to be a great tragedy if they would leave their sin and come into Christ. When someone gets saved in their company, they would think, oh, well, there's another one wasting his life. They believe that the pleasures of sin are more profitable for them in their darkness than the things of God. But you see, whenever you come to light of the Word of God, and we see the reality of the things around us, we find that the pleasures of sin are but for a season. And then there's another ray of light shines out of the scripture. It's appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment. And the Lord's showing you what's ahead. And then there's another ray of golden light as we read of Christ to come into this world to seek and to save the lost. Oh, the light has shone. The light has been shining. The light is continuing to shine. But you, sinner, have been running from the light and running from the word and running from the truth. You believe darkness to be better than light. When the Lord was on this earth, remember, he called himself the light of the world. There were those who sought to extinguish the light. Him. They planned and plotted to kill him. But the Lord Jesus wasn't killed. No, no. He gave his life willingly as a sacrifice for sinners. Yes, we're saved by the light of the world. We walk in his light and we walk by the light of the word. And dear believer, maybe you're questioning at this time God's will for your life. Maybe you need a little light for the next step. Come to the Word of God. Come to the Word of God. The Lord reveals his Word to us gradually. And as we obey that part, then he reveals more and he reveals more. This book does not show us exactly where we will be in 5, 6, 7, 8, or 9 years' time in this life. But it shows us how to walk faithfully in the light of his word. And some people want to know the future, and some people want to know what lies ahead. God has blessed us by veiling the future from us. But there'll be enough light for the next part of the journey. And you obey and go through with God as he shows to you the next step to take. There was a little boy walking along a country lane one dark night, and he was with his father, and he was carrying a lantern. And there was a black, eerie silence all about. And the little boy was frightened, and he says, "Father, this light reaches such a little way, and I'm afraid." And his father answered, "Well, that's true, my boy, but if you walk on, the light will shine to the end of your journey." And there are nighttime experiences that we sometimes have to go through as believers. And God gives us enough light just for the next step. But having taken it, we find that there's light for the next one and the next one. And we can be sure of one thing, the light will never go out. And when we walk on, we'll reach the end of the journey. We are reminded that we're not only saved by the light and walk in the light and walk by the light, but we are to shine our lights before men that they might know of our Saviour. Is your light shining for Christ? Are you seeking to influence people for the Saviour? Are there people you're praying for? I know there are restrictions here at the minute with whom you can bring and who you can't bring and all of those things, but we trust and pray in the will of God, and I trust you're praying for this, that these restrictions will be lifted and this pandemic will be over. But believer, don't wait until that time. Start you praying for souls now. Start you shining the light now, praying for people to be able to bring with you whenever the house of God opens up again, and whenever that you've the opportunity, even in this time of lockdown, to share the light of the world with others. I said this morning about people on Facebook putting gospel verses and texts. Praise God for that. We need more of that. People shining the light of the gospel in this dark world. I want you to turn to Acts chapter 10. In Acts chapter 10, verse number 42, Peter's speaking here. "And he commanded us to preach unto the people," Acts 10:42, "and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead. To him give all the prophets witness, that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins." Here's a third reason. Here's a third reason. You need to be saved because you're bound by sin. And for the Christian tonight, praise God, we have been set free from our sin. See that word remission? The word means freedom. Freedom or pardon, deliverance, forgiveness, or liberty. The word's used in various ways, and I want to use this word that is here translated remission and let you see how it's used elsewhere in Scripture. I'm just going to read these verses. Acts 28:18, "To open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins." That's the same word here as remission. It is also in Luke 4, "To preach deliverance to the captives." That word deliverance is the same as remission. And also the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. The word liberty is the same as remission. And whenever we see the use of this word, we see it's often found in connection with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1:7, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness or the remission of sins according to the riches of his grace." Hebrews 9:22, "And without the shedding of blood is no remission." And the Bible makes it very clear that any freedom we have, any deliverance, any pardon, any liberty that we will have from our sin will come one way and one way only. It's not joining a church. It's not being baptized. It's not being christened. It's not being confirmed. It's not taking communion. It's not having any rites or religious activities done upon you. It is through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no remission. There is no freedom without the shedding of the blood. And some people start to say and start to criticize churches, and we've heard the claim being made, they always talk about the blood of Christ. That's all they're speaking about. Praise God, because that's the only message there is. No matter where you start in this book, no matter what book, chapter, or verse you start at, There will always be a bloodline that leads to Calvary. And we always need to get there, because only through the work of Christ and the cross of Calvary and the shedding of the blood that any man, woman, boy or girl can be saved. And you see, for a preacher, or anybody for that matter, to say that there's another way for sins to be dealt with is against Scripture. To say there's another way for your sins to be dealt with is error, and it's to go against God's way of salvation. Oh, it's not by money. It's not by works of righteousness. It's not by some monastic existence and depriving yourself of the blessings that are even for all in this life. But it's according to His riches. It's according to His blessing upon the sinner who turns from their sin and asks the Lord for mercy. I know people, and many have testified in this pulpit, that have been in the bondage of sin. Oh, they've tried to give it up. Whatever it was, maybe the alcohol, maybe the drugs, maybe the immorality, maybe the gambling, maybe the lying, maybe the stealing, maybe the swearing, whatever it was. And friend, they couldn't change it. They had not any power to be free from those things that held them in bondage. But praise God, the Lord came. And they were able to say with the hymn writer, what a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. Oh, you need to be saved tonight. You might think you're in control of your life, but you make no mistake about it. You're in the bondage of sin, the shackles of sin, the clasp of Satan, and you're on your way to hell. But praise God, there is freedom. There is remission of sin in the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, maybe you feel those chains of bondage. Praise God tonight, if you bow your head and call on the Lord for freedom, for cleansing and for mercy, He will save you and wash you in His precious blood. Turn with me to Romans chapter 9, and we're almost through here, but we want to leave these verses with you. Romans chapter 9 and verse number 33. In Romans chapter 9, verse number 33. As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. Chapter 10 and verse 11, for the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. You know, you need to be saved tonight so that the Lord will take away all shame and guilt from you. You've broken God's law. You're going to stand before the judgment seat of the Lord, and you're going to have that record of sin presented before you. And oh, the shame that there will be. What will it be for a sinner to feel the guilt and shame as he stands in the presence of the Lord with no hope for deliverance or salvation, realizing that they were wrong and God was right? That eternity is hell, torment, darkness, misery forever. It's interesting to note that it says in this verse, chapter 9:33, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense. And the reality is, for many, Christ is a stumbling stone. Oh, many are offended at Him. You see, Christ isn't what man's idea of a Savior should be. Some people think that a Savior ought to be someone who says, well, I forgive your sin, live whatever way you want. Or some people think that a Savior should be able to give permission to enter into heaven and allow people to enjoy the pleasures of sin as well. And therefore, Christ is a stumbling stone and a rock of offense to many. They're offended by the gospel. They fight against the gospel, the believer, the church. They make it their life's mission to try and cause havoc for the church, just as Saul did before he was saved. But I'll tell you something. You see, whenever the Lord calls, and whenever the Lord calls them to His judgment bar, they will be ashamed. In fact, the Bible tells us that they'll call on the mountains, the hills to fall on them. Ah, but there's no annihilation at this time. And many a person who had great bravado and pride as they talked about the Lord and took the name of the Lord in vain, all of those awful things, friend, they'll be rendered speechless, fearful, ashamed in the sight of a holy God. I wonder tonight, how do you stand? If tonight the Lord should call you Does shame and dread and despair fill your heart because you know you'll stand before the Lord in your sin? But what a blessing for the Christian to have this confidence. I will not be ashamed. I will not be ashamed. Oh, many times I failed him. And yes, there were times of disobedience and times of sin in my life, but praise God, they're all under the blood of the Lamb. They'll never be brought before me by my Heavenly Father. Remember, I will not be accepted or standing in my good works when I enter heaven as a Christian, although they will be rewarded. But that's not the ground of my acceptance. The ground of my acceptance and the basis of my acceptance always has been the blood and the righteousness of Christ. And maybe there's some dear believer in this meeting or watching online, and this past week, maybe even this day, the devil has been bringing up to you again and again and beating you up about your wasted years or your mistakes or the past. And maybe it was even a struggle to come out to church tonight because you felt so deflated by those things that the devil was bringing up before you. You know what you do tonight? You point him to Calvary and remind him that the Lord has dealt with all of those things that he has reminded you of, and thousands more. And you can have the confidence, dear believer, tonight that you'll be welcomed home in heaven because you'll arrive there robed in the righteousness of Christ and washed in the blood of the Lamb. That's the only entrance into heaven. That's the only basis upon which we will stand there. Praise God, our sins are under the blood. Praise God, we don't have to be particularly good, as it were, before the Lord would accept us. No, he receives sinners. This man receiveth sinners. Oh, that was the cry of the Pharisees against the Lord. But praise God, it's the joy of the preacher to say, this man receiveth sinners. Will you not come? All whosoever believeth shall not be ashamed. Now finally, 1 John and chapter number 5 there at the end of the Word of God. And we just want to turn to those few verses. 1 John 5 and 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. Fifth reason why you need to be saved and you need to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ is because you are an enemy of God. And praise God, whenever you are saved, each Christian can say, I have been born of God. What does it mean to be born of God? Well, naturally, when we're born into this world, you know who your parents are, you know the home that you're in, the name that you take. All of those things are true because of your natural birth. But this is a spiritual birth. It means we're a partaker of the divine nature. It means that the Holy Ghost dwells within us. And the Holy Ghost does not dwell in the enemies of God. In there dwells sin and corruption. But the Holy Ghost dwells within the believer. It also means to be born of God that we're a member of the family of God. We've been adopted. The Lord loves us so much that he has brought us into his family and given us that family name. It also means we're an heir to the kingdom of God. And I have not seen and ear hath not heard what the Lord has prepared for them that love him. And praise God, someday we will see and we will hear. And we're heirs to that kingdom. It means we're a person of great privilege and blessing. Maybe, dear believer, you've looked at maybe someone in this world and they have lots of money or lots of possession or lots of power and they seem to be really just having everything that this life has to offer. And you've thought, oh, how fortunate are they and how easy they have it. You remind yourself who you are tonight. You're a child of God. You're a child of God. What a privilege. Oh, what a great blessing. You're one who is ever in the loving care of his heavenly Father. There's not a moment you're out of his care. There's not a moment his eye is not upon you. There's not a moment where his heart does not move in love toward you. Oh, I said at the start of this meeting out of Psalm 138, verse 8, he will perfect that which concerneth me. That's our God. That's our God. Are you born of God? Are you a Christian? Hymn writer said, born of the Spirit with life from above into God's family divine. justified fully through Calvary's love. Oh, what a standing is mine, and the transaction so quickly was made, when, as a sinner, I came, took of the offer of grace he did proffer, he saved me. Oh, praise his dear name. Heaven came down, and glory filled my soul. When the Lord Jesus Christ was speaking in John chapter 10, and he talked about being a shepherd, there were those who came to him and asked him if he really was the Christ, and to prove it. And he said in John 10:25, I told you, and ye believed not. I told you, and ye believed not. Is there someone in this meeting? And the Lord has told you again and again and again. Someone listening at home. And the Lord has told you again and again and again that he's ready and he's willing and he's able to save. You've had the scriptures. You've heard the truth. You see many believers in your life and their testimony. So it's not a lack of evidence. Oh no, that's not the problem. The heart of the matter is that you don't want to be saved. You're happy in the pleasure of your sin. You're content to walk toward eternity as an enemy of God, closer to hell than ever before. I warn you tonight, and I beg you tonight, make sure today, if you hear his voice, you harden not your heart. I'm glad that the gospel declares whosoever believeth, they'll have eternal life. They'll no longer abide in darkness. They'll have freedom from their sin. They shall not be ashamed before God. They shall be a child of God. Aren't we a blessed people tonight? Oh, how richly we're blessed beyond all measure. Dear sinner, what about you? Oh, these blessings can be yours tonight. This Savior can be yours tonight. The joy of sins forgiven. And it's down to these two words. Whosoever believeth. Will you believe tonight? Will you have faith? Will you call upon the Savior to save your soul? This first Lord's Day evening of 2021. Will this be the night when you turn from your sin and believe in Jesus? Let's just unite our hearts together in prayer. We ask God's people to pray. We realize there are those who have heard the gospel afresh and they're not saved. Maybe in this meeting, maybe sitting at home, and we pray that tonight they will trust in the Lord. But this is not of man's doing. This is the Lord needs to move. We pray the Lord will move and stir their heart. Pray for those caught between two decisions or two opinions tonight. Oh, may the Lord give grace that they'll come through for him. Heavenly Father, we thank thee, Lord, that the gospel is freely offered to whosoever. Lord, it's not for a certain background of people. It's not for people in a particular time or of a particular culture, of a particular educational status or wealth or any of those things. But it's whosoever. And therefore, there's not one person in this meeting or not one person watching online tonight that can say, well, that doesn't include me. Oh, Lord, you said, whosoever believeth. And I pray tonight, Lord, that everyone who listens will believe. I pray maybe for some dear sinner in the bondage of sin. Lord, cause him to believe tonight. Pray for some dear sinner and they're walking in darkness thinking that all is well. Oh Lord, show them the light tonight. Pray for those who are enemies of God tonight without any concern in their soul. Oh Lord, may tonight they be saved and brought into the family of God. Oh Lord, there's so many excuses people can put up. But I pray tonight, Lord, you'll take away every single one and cause a sinner to say, I am coming, Lord. I am coming now to thee. Wash me. Cleanse me in thy blood that flowed from Calvary. Oh, save tonight, we pray. Not because of a preacher, not because of a church, because the Lord's dealing with hearts tonight. Oh, Lord, don't allow the sinner to be concerned and then leave it. Don't allow people to walk out rejecting thee. May it never be the testimony, I told you and you believed not. But may tonight the sinner come and welcome to Jesus. Do the work that only thou canst do. And we'll be careful to give thee all the praise and the honour and the glory. For it's in Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen.